Welcome to a delicious hour of culinary conversation with Chef Jamie Gwen. Dish with celebrity chefs, cookbook authors, trendsetters, and food experts, and gain inspirational ideas to feed your soul. You'll learn kitchen wisdom, wine education, and lifestyle tips, and you'll eat and drink like never before. Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen starts now.
A very good Sunday to you, food lovers. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. This show brings you fresh ingredients, recipes, and kitchen wisdom from celebrity chefs, authors, culinary experts, artisans, sommeliers, mixologists, and more, because every Sunday we take a true culinary exploration. I'm all about delectable dishes and exquisite gastronomic experiences. So if it's rich or savory or just downright delicious, you are going to hear about it here. We're cooking for fall and for football and the changing of the seasons. And you can find recipes galore posted on my website at chefjamie.com, where I'm always serving up seconds. You'll find podcasts of radio shows you might have missed there as well. And you can read my daily dish on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. So please become a friend. So you know it's officially fall when the leaves start turning, right? But best of all, fall to me is when the farmer's market vendor starts selling delicious apple cider. Oh, yes. Now, if you asked one of those vendors what exactly apple cider is, they'll tell you that it's simply raw pressed apples with no added water or preservatives. Apple juice, on the contrary, is often processed or even filtered, and it can have added sugar or water. Now, in the U.S., some companies label apple cider and apple juice interchangeably, so you really have to ask good questions or read the labels. Because when you find real, freshly pressed apple cider, it is just so scrumptious. So I thought I would take a moment at the start of this week's show to dish on apple cider, because it isn't just for drinking. You can really add fabulous flavor to your dishes because of the sweetness of the apples, the freshness of the cider, the combination of apples that these cider makers are using today, sometimes even oak aged or fermented, makes that cider even better. And then the cider spices on top of it, combined with the sweetness of the apples, really can enhance a dish. Now, cider happens to have a story that's often overlooked, I would say. In colonial America, many homesteads had an orchard, and cider was the drink of the people. In fact, one historian stated that in 1767, 35 gallons of cider were consumed per person annually in Massachusetts. Now, this cider that we're speaking of is the alcoholic kind, and it continued to be the most popular drink through the 19th century until beer surpassed cider in production at the turn of the 20th century. Now, after Prohibition began, many of the orchards were abandoned, and cider never really recovered. But today, over the past few years, this forgotten beverage is in the midst of a renaissance as a business and as a craft. So, you will find craft ciders in the fermented style, the sparkling style that has an alcohol content. And in fact, they mostly take their models from fine wine. Ciders above 7% alcohol by volume are actually considered wine, but they must be derived wholly from apples. And you'll find American craft cider reflects a really wonderful diversity of styles. Like you'll find some beer-like versions that are made with hops. You'll find some ciders that are aged in oak barrels. And you'll find them also sparkling or still. There are more than 500 cider producers in the U.S. today. But you'll have to look in your local area to really find those that are artisanally made and truly delicious. Now, I happen to love a sparkling cider as a starter to a fall meal to toast with. You can use it as an after dinner wine. I happen to use a sparkling cider, the alcoholic kind, in a dessert very simply with two ingredients. You put a scoop of vanilla ice cream in a big wine goblet and you pour sparkling cider over the top, and it is so delicious. But now back to the fresh cider I was discussing a little earlier. When you find an apple cider producer at the farmer's market, you will want to use their classic autumnal refreshment for everything. So consider cooking with fresh apple cider as well. Here's some inspiration. Mulled cider, of course, is a wonderful drink for a party. You can use apple cider for deglazing pork chops for a pan sauce. You can bake with it by adding it to quick bread recipes. You can make a glaze with it for a cake. And then you should consider using cider in place of water for a brine, because a pork roast is immediately made better from a simple brine solution of cider with some maple syrup and some allspice and some bay leaves. Or how about making a Gruyere and cider fondue to dip bread or veggies or sausage and more? And then come the holidays, you'll definitely want to make your cranberry relish with apple cider, because it's out of this world. And as for the hot mulled apple cider that I mentioned for a fall warmer, what could be better, right? I mean, even though it's still sunny in Southern California where I live, the nights are starting to get cool, or cool for us at least. And that means that it's time for hot spiced cider, simmered with fragrant cinnamon and with a splash of rum. The whole house smells so wonderful. And I have a super simple recipe. I'll post it, by the way, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. You're simply spicing up fresh local apple cider, and you start with a good 8 cups or so of fresh apple cider. You throw in a few cinnamon sticks, an anise pod if you have one, some whole cloves, and some orange slices, and you just simmer with all the spices for about 10 minutes or so. And you can tie the spices up in a cheesecloth bag for easy removal later. And then at the end, you splash in some dark rum. And you serve it warm, of course. And that is a true cheers to fall. I would love to know what you're making with cider and beyond. So please email me anytime. It's Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at chefjamie.com. And in food news this week, this was so interesting to me. The UK's first food waste supermarket opened last week. Yes, you heard me right. The food is actually priced on a pay-as-you-feel reasonable basis, but it is helping desperate families to feed their children. There is a project called the Real Junk Food Project, and they are food waste campaigners, and they have opened this warehouse supermarket where they invite customers to shop for food that would have otherwise been thrown out by supermarkets and other businesses. Now, the food is still good, but it's past the expiration date, or maybe the produce is slightly overripe. And it's really an extraordinary opportunity to feed those in communities that are in need. It's interesting. They plan to open a warehouse in multiple cities across the United Kingdom. And the initiative started as a way to sell, as I mentioned, the produce from supermarkets that tended to be overripe. They have a co-op school project as well, where surplus bread and fruit and vegetables and even dairy products from supermarkets is used to feed hungry school children. The food itself from these warehouse waste supermarkets would have otherwise found its way to a landfill. It is used to feed over 12,000 children a week in schools. And according to an investigation by the Evening Standard, a British newspaper, they are saving $300 million worth of edible food by offering it to those in need at a value. Now, their health laws are different than those in the US, but what an extraordinary concept to feed the world, right? Okay, kudos to the UK and to the Real Junk Food Project for making a difference. That, no doubt, is food news that you can use. And Southern California food lovers, do you want to save money on your groceries? Well, did you know that you can save up to 12% on your weekly grocery bill just by shopping at Smart and Final? That's right. You might know Smart and Final as that place where you stock up, but today they are so much more. Introducing the new and better than ever Smart and Final, where you can still stock up on thousands of club sizes, but now you can pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower than other grocery stores. No wonder everyone loves the fresh, locally sourced produce, even the organics at Smart and Final. And restaurant quality meats and great low prices on wine, beer, and spirits can be found as well. So why not shop it all at the ultimate warehouse and supermarket? Proud to have Smart and Final as a supporter of this show and hoping that you will support the new Smart and Final. Warehouse and market, friend and neighbor. Find a store near you at smartandfinal.com. And do not touch your dial because there's lots more delicious conversation coming up in your radio. My good friend Joanna Pruce is stopping by next. She is a great cook and we are dishing on fall pestos. And the cake boss will be here. Buddy Velastro is giving you some suggestions to cut the sugar, but to keep it sweet. Also, before the end of the hour, we'll talk about the best way to freeze everything. Author Becky Rosenthal is dishing. Stay tuned. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio with more fabulous food right after this. It's time for the Melissa's Produce Pick of the Week, every week from the ordinary to the extraordinary, guaranteeing that the best and freshest worldwide produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. The fall season conjures up the idea of sweet potatoes, right? And oh, how I love an organic baby yam from Melissa's. They taste so truly delicious. You can find these petite varieties from Melissa's available in baby jewel yams, which have that deep orange, wonderful flesh, baby garnet yams that have a light red purple skin, baby Japanese yams, which have this white creamy interior that's fantastic. And oh, they're all delicious and nutritious. They make a beautiful side dish. You can use them for your holiday meals, and they're available now. You'll find organic baby yams available from the Melissa's website at melissas.com, where you can order your produce direct to your front door. Or look for Melissa's produce in the produce section of your favorite supermarket. The logo has the I as the carrot. You'll see it by name. The best, the freshest global produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffi, making delicious is what they do. Family owned for over 85 years, Hoffi is true to its roots and embracing the future, honoring tradition with great flavor and quality. Hoffi Original Recipe Beef Franks are made with the highest quality 100% beef and the family's special spice blend. And Hoffi Premium Beef Franks are the hot dog condiments crave. And oh, I'm craving a Hoffi hot dog right about now. Do you love taking selfies? Well, here's your chance to win $3,000 in the Glamming It Up with Hoffi sweepstakes. Look for details at HoffiBrand.com and on Facebook.com/HoffiBrand. You can stock up on a variety of Hoffi hot dogs at Smart and Final stores in Southern California and find recipes and ideas for dinner tonight at HoffiBrand.com. Hoffi, making happy.
Why do 8 out of 10 drivers prefer Lyft over the competition? Could be that you earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car during hours you choose. Give enough rides each week and you can keep up to 95% commission. That's right, 95%. Better yet, we'll start you off with a $500 bonus. That's right, $500 for each new Lyft driver in Los Angeles. And you'll only earn more from there. Whether you're putting money toward a mortgage, saving for vacation, or just looking for a better way to earn, Choose Lyft. Apply at lalyft.com. That's lalyft.com today. While you jot that down, here's another fun fact. Lyft is the only app that allows tipping, and 60% of our rides tip the driver. Because at Lyft, drivers come first. Be your own boss, pick your own schedule, and get paid weekly. Experience the difference of Lyft and pocket that $500 bonus by applying at lalyft.com today. Terms apply.
Hey, what's going on?
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, it's House of Cards meets WrestleMania as Hillary and Donald debate for the first time.
I want to know who's going to end up bloody, who's going to end up crying, and who's going to end up rolled up in a ball in the corner.
I want to see my mama.
Well, I'm going to the debate, so probably me. Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is your quick fix of culinary entertainment every Sunday. Welcome back, Chef Jamie Gwen, in your radio, inspiring you to cook new dishes this week. Because when most great cooks hear the word pesto, they think basil. But pesto can include just about any herb that has been pounded with cheese and nuts, which means that pesto can be enjoyed any time of the year. My very dear friend and an extraordinary cook, Joanna Pruce, recently had her 14th cookbook published entitled Soup for Two, a veritable around the world of soup recipes all scaled down to feed one or two or a few, which I love. And Joanna is an award-winning author whose cooking articles and recipes have appeared everywhere from the New York Times Sunday Magazine to the Washington Post to Food Arts and Savour. And she and I, well, we love to dish on delicious dishes. And when Joanna told me that she was making pesto in a multitude of ways, I thought that she should definitely come back on to inspire you to take full advantage of the changing of the season. So we're cleaning out the garden and we're using up those herbs in abundance because Joanna Pruce is here. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I am great. Good. I just made a pot of pesto this morning.
Of course you did. Okay, let's talk pesto for a second because you are really mixing it up, which I love, but there are wonderful ways to enjoy pesto year-round, especially throughout the colder months. And right now, I know that just this past week we celebrated the first day of fall, but it's very warm in Southern California.
And it's very warm in New York.
So you're still using up the bounty of basil, but then incorporating new and different herbs. Like, I make arugula pesto. What do you make when you're thinking outside the box?
Well, I make Thai pesto.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But, and it has cilantro and basil and mint leaves in it. And I use chunky-style peanut butter, ginger root, red pepper flakes, Thai fish sauce. And I put it over Asian noodles with shrimp and sugar snaps. And water chestnuts, you know, whatever the usual candidate.
Yes, of course. No, and that sounds delicious right about now. When it comes to basic pesto, let's say you're using up the basil as we enter into the fall season. Share with us your best tips, please.
Okay, so the first thing is you don't have to wash it. If you grow it outside, if you don't know where it came from, you'd probably want to rinse it or just wipe it dry. You don't want to take the flavor off. You do want to remove the stems, and I take about 2 cups of basil leaves, 2 teaspoons of pine nuts. Some people use walnuts when the price of pine nuts is too expensive, 2 large cloves of garlic, and I pulse those together, and then I add 1/2 cup of probably extra virgin. It does not have to be really herbaceous. Once that is chunky smooth, which is my preference, I add 1/2 cup of Parmigiano Reggiano, Jamie, because that is a cow's cheese from Parma.
Right.
Some recipes add Pecorino Romano is a sheep's cheese from Rome, and it is much saltier. And then some people like to mix the two. So it's really up to your taste. The other tip I would say to people is pesto in and of itself is great if you're going to put it on pasta when you'd like your 1/2 cup of olive oil. If you're going to add it to something else, like sometimes I put some into some mayonnaise and use it in a red potato salad.
Oh, nice.
If I'm going to put a dollop on top of a grilled cheese sandwich, similarly, I don't use as much oil. You really want that big burst of taste.
Right. So you're adjusting accordingly. Like if you're going to use the pesto in a vinaigrette, which, by the way, is one of my favorite things to do, and I know you do too, then you cut down on the oil when you're making your homemade pesto because you know that you're adding acid and oil to make the dressing itself.
Exactly.
Okay.
And pesto actually freezes quite well, but I would probably, if it were me, I would probably freeze it without the cheese and then add the cheese once you decided to defrost it and use it.
So let's talk about Thai noodle salad, which, by the way, that recipe I know is posted on your social media pages at Joanna Pruce. And I just want to mention that's basil, cilantro, and mint, as you said, but then you substitute sesame oil for olive oil. So really that pesto goes Asian twist. Is proof.
And it's got peanut butter.
Yes, and you can make it your own. That's really proof that you can adjust a recipe accordingly to an ethnic style, to a flavor profile. Then moving on to you made grilled hanger steak quesadillas, if I recall, because that sounded so good. I couldn't forget.
Yummy.
And there are a mix of herbs as well, right? And then a substitute for the traditional nut.
So I used pumpkin seeds, and I used mostly cilantro, and I pulsed that together, and I made a pesto. Again, that's posted at Joanna Pruce, but what happened is I have a neighbor across the street. He is one of a pair of twins who's 13, and he has seven-year-old twin sisters, and their dad died suddenly. And their mother's mentioned that the son, who used to cook with their father, was really having a hard time. I said, send him across the street because that maybe we can get some shared experience. So he comes across the street, and he's made a bunch of things, but we made a green bean and new potato salad, and he was so excited to tell his family that he had used mustard to bind the oil and the lemon juice.
Oh, a budding chef.
Well, he's a budding chef, and so we're making quesadillas, and he said, Joanna, we need to put grilled steak on top. I said, well, great. So I had this cilantro pumpkin seed pesto, which we used to bind, just to hold the steak on top of it, and then we made a little bit of salsa with pineapple and red pepper and red onions. And well, he looked at me.
Yum.
Beaming.
Yes.
And he said, this is the best thing I've ever had. And his mom said she knew he was getting better once he started cooking with me. And that's the real point of food. It's communion.
Yes.
In good times and bad times.
And
that's what I love about it.
And I love that you're getting kids into the kitchen to cook. And I love that pesto brought you together.
Yep. And you know what? The next day he made a variation of some other recipe I gave him. And he said, I'm doing it my way. I said, you should.
And therefore you should. There are so many wonderful pesto variations. And I love that you shared the unique side. As we change the season here, there are wonderful ways to bring fall into our kitchens using really the basic methods and the traditional recipes that we know and love and making them signature to our own.
Aren't we lucky?
Yes.
We have this stuff in our market
for 50
years now.
No doubt. I'll tell you, Joanna, the best thing that I have made with pesto of late is I am big on zucchini noodles because we're eating very vegetarian in my home lately, and my husband loves it. But zucchini noodles tossed with pesto, outrageous. So good. I know. So good.
Fabulous. And I told you about Karen Brooks' roasted pepper and a couple tablespoons.
Wait, leave us with that. So another dear friend who is a talented cook has Karen Brooks has a great twist on pesto.
So she takes a small log of goat cheese, mixes it with 2 tablespoons of pesto, and a roasted red pepper, pulses it all together to make a spread, and serves it on bruschetta. And let me tell you, that's another way to toast the summer into fall.
Oh, no doubt. Okay, so simple Sunday appetizer. to toast to the weekend this afternoon. You said a log of goat cheese, a couple.
A small log, that's what, a 3.5 ounce
Yes, three and a half, four ounces.
Or 5.5 ounce maybe.
Somewhere in there.
Two tablespoons of pesto and a peeled and roasted red pepper pulsed together or smooth if you like, and then spread it on bruschetta or crackers.
Perfect. Okay, cheers to you and cheers to that.
Thank you, and to you.
I can't wait to toast with pesto with you sometime soon.
I hope so.
She is my talented friend whose culinary escapades can be continually watched at Joanna Pruess, and it's P-R-U-E-S-S, on social media, and joannapruess.com. I love dishing with you, and I wish you a delicious fall, and you are welcome back anytime, Joanna.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Look forward to it.
I appreciate it, as always. There's more delicious conversation from a bevy of foodies that truly just love to cook. I know that you're one of them, so stay tuned because there is more delicious conversation in your radio right after this. Chef Jamie Gwen here. So you need a loaf of bread for lunches or maybe snacks for that Sunday football party. Well, it's a good thing Smart and Final has you covered, right? You see, Smart and Final is making you rethink the way you shop because Smart and Final has the low prices of a supercenter with the big sizes of a club store, but no membership fees. Plus, you get the freshness of your local supermarket all in one place. That's the new and better than ever Smart and Final, where you can still stock up on thousands of club sizes, but now you can pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower than other grocery stores. In fact, it's been proven you can save statistically up to 12% a week by shopping at Smart and Final. And Smart and Final is your official Halloween headquarters. You should know that carving pumpkins just arrived. You'll find organics and fresh locally sourced produce too, restaurant quality meats, and great low prices on wine, beer, and spirits. This week at Smart and Final, great values like Foster Farms whole chickens are just 79 cents per pound, and they're fresh. Plus sweet seedless green grapes, locally grown, just 99 cents per pound. So shop it all at the ultimate warehouse and supermarket, the new Smart and Final. Warehouse and market, friend and neighbor, find a store near you at smartandfinal.com.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta home delivery gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
At CarMax, we're big fans of the internet. I just ordered this lifetime supply of toothpicks, and here they are, delivered right to my door by a drone. We are living in the future. Need more proof? Check out CarMax.com, where you can find the car of your dreams from your couch. And once you've found said car of said dreams, reserve it online and we'll hold it for you, up to 7 days. Of course, if you're still on the couch after 7 days, well, maybe the internet is too incredible. CarMax, drive what's possible.
Hey guys, Dr. Drew. I want to talk to you about New Method Wellness. It's Orange County's premier addiction treatment center. They offer individualized treatment programs catering to each client's needs. In addition to drug treatment, they can handle dual diagnosis for co-occurring disorders such as mood disorders, bipolar, depression, generalized anxiety disorder. They have a well-trained, compassionate staff with over 300 years of collective sobriety amongst them. In addition to standard therapies, New Method offers holistic therapy for clients, including outdoor therapy, equine therapy, art therapy, acupuncture, and more. They put their emphasis where it counts, on extended aftercare and connecting patients with their alumni. They have extensive alumni programs, which provides long-term sobriety tools and a stable, sober community for all of their clients. And you will not be disappointed by the environment and the amenities. If you or someone you know needs help, call New Method Wellness at 844-35-SOBER. That is 844-35-SOBER. Or go to newmethodwellness.com/Dr. Drew. New Method Wellness, not your usual treatment center.
It's a double face-off Monday on KABC. First, the Donald faces off against Hillary Clinton.
in the first of three presidential debates. Then, the Kings face off against the Arizona Coyotes in their preseason opener.
Backhander, score!
Trump, Hillary, round one. Tomorrow at 6, immediately followed by Kings and Coyotes on a double face-off. Double face-off Monday on 790 KABC.
Welcome back. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio, sharing the sweeter side of life. We know and love celebrity baker Buddy Velastro, the star of TLC's hit show Cake Boss, and the owner and head baker of Carlo's Bakery. His elaborate themed cakes are astounding, filled with delicious buttercream and fondant designs. But Buddy is challenging you to discover lower calorie baking, and he's rethinking sweet. And the Cake Boss is here to dish. I'm glad to have you. Hi, Chef.
Hey, how you doing, Jamie? How's everything going?
It's going good. How are things in your sweet life?
I can't complain. Life is definitely great. The kids are getting big.
Yes.
Things are good at home. We're filming, you know. A lot of great blessings in my life. I'm truly blessed.
Yes, and we love watching the family escapades and your continual growing success. I love your story, the fact that you were never pushed into the bakery business, but that your father encouraged your learning and that you really embraced it as your life's work.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was something that even today, like there's, you know, because again, I wear many hats, right? I mean, I am a head baker, but I'm also CEO of a company that has 13 bakeries, and I have restaurants, and I have a production company, and I film. So, you know, I don't always get the same amount of time in a kitchen, but when I do go, if I'm not in the kitchen, say, for like a week, I get agitated. Like, my assistant's like, you need to just, like, go bake. Like,
yeah.
You need to go make a cake or something and, like, forget about it. So after all these years and all these cakes, I still love what I do, and I attribute my success to having my dream job. I truly love it.
Isn't that extraordinary to be able to say that?
And to be honest with you, being an entrepreneur and being a businessman, I know that the future of baking is going to be for healthier baking. It's going to be for lower calories or less sugar or sugar-free or gluten-free, not only because of requests that we're getting, but, you know, I use the analogy like this to people. If I would have told you 20 years ago that the Internet was going to hurt retail, like put retail stores out of business, you would have told me I was crazy.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to be that guy and be put out of business because I'm not changing with the times.
Well, I think that's a testament to your business acumen. And we love watching your show, and everything looks very indulgent, but you really are rethinking sweet.
No, I am. And to be honest with you, I'm doing it for a lot of reasons. And again, nobody wants to live in a world that you can't have a cupcake every once in a while. It's done in moderation. And what happened was the Whole Earth Sweetener Company came to me and they said, look, we want to challenge you to try one of our products. And I said, well, how does it work exactly?
Interesting.
They said, if you're going to do chocolate chip cookies, right, and it calls for a cup of sugar, you put a half a cup of the Whole Earth baking blend. I said, okay, what's in this magic sugar? I said, you know, like what kind of junk or whatever? And they're like, look, there's no GMOs in it. Mm. They said it's made from stevia leaf and sugar. I said, okay, let me give it a shot. So I made a batch of cookies with sugar, and I made a batch of cookies with the Whole Earth Sweetener baking blend, and I gave them to my kids to do a taste test.
The best judges ever.
I figured, why not, you know?
Right.
And they could not choose which was which. They didn't know.
Really?
And so I did it then with my staff, and it was probably like 75% of the people couldn't pick.
That's really fascinating.
They just couldn't.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? At the same time, you're cutting down calories.
Right.
You're still putting out a natural product, and you're not sacrificing the taste.
Can you substitute equal parts proportionally in a recipe?
It's not equal. It's
okay.
Half.
It's half.
So you, if you're, and when I say that, Jamie, you start with half because.
Right.
And again, you know, I'm going to tell you the way it is. Like when I did the cheesecake, it was probably 40% of what I would normally put in sugar in my regular cheesecake.
Hmm.
And then the icing was like 55%. So again, every recipe you're going to have to play with.
Sure.
But the fact is that it works. And they have even a honey blend, which, I mean, whether you're baking with honey or you just put honey in your coffee. I mean, in your tea. Not your coffee, your tea. But, you know, just to be able to, you use half the amount, it'll still be sweet, and you'll save on the calories.
See, I think that's amazing when you can still indulge. You see, I have this 3-bite chocolate cake rule, buddy, because that's my everything in moderation, right? I should be satiated enough with 3 bites of chocolate cake. But the rule doesn't always work. So if I could sit down to a whole piece of chocolate cake, knowing that it had a sugar substitute that didn't sacrifice the flavor, the satiation from a dessert that I was looking for, then there is a lesser guilt factor that we're all looking for.
And honestly, you know, there might be a day where you're going to just have the regular cake, and that's okay. It's about in moderation, like you said,
right.
And it's about, you know, when you can make healthier choices, why wouldn't you?
What else do you use, like, to substitute for fat? Have you cut down on the butter in some of the recipes?
Yeah, I mean, I did a couple things where I've been substituting some yogurt and applesauce, you know, to lessen the fat and the butter. You know, and it definitely works because, again, the fat is really in it to moisten. You know what I'm trying to say? To keep the product moist, and the yogurt and the applesauce is going to work for that. I also, you know, people are getting away from flour. I've also been using a lot of nut flour substitutions in recipes where, you know, you take half the amount of flour out, you substitute it with the flour of the nut, whether it be almond, pistachio. I actually do that in my biscotti anyway at the bakery. This is something that we were doing like 20 years ago.
It was a good
Italian
trick.
Because I wanted to make like a real optimum flavor. Like, how do you get more almond flavor in it?
Right.
Rather than putting an almond extract, substitute part of the flour out, and you're putting more almonds inside, you know? So it's going to taste more naturally like an almond.
Really smart. Yeah, no, I mean, good old Italian trick to use the almond flour to compound the flavor. And then you do everything sweet in your life, I know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you shared You shared a cinnamon French toast recipe that looks really delicious.
Yeah, no, honestly, that one is a must try. Actually, you go to WholeEarthSweetener.com. I got a bunch of recipes on there, so you can do a lot of different things with it. Mm-hmm. I actually did a lot of this with my kids, too, because they love to bake and cook, and we're trying to show them that, you know?
Yeah, no, you're definitely setting a good example, and I appreciate coming from the very sweet tooth side of the cake boss life, that you are cutting back on sugar and fat, and that we still can indulge in the sweets that we love.
Yeah.
Thank you
amen
for that. Thank you for rethinking
Jamie,
sweet for us. Yes.
Always a pleasure, hon.
No.
You're the best.
Thank you. And always a pleasure with you, buddy. Come back soon, please. We'll continue to watch, of course. Buddy Velastro, the star of TLC's hit show Cake Boss. I'll see you soon, Chef.
Thank you.
I look forward
Bye-bye.
To it. You can find the Cake Boss's newest recipes at WholeEarthSweetener.com. And stay tuned. There's more delicious conversation on the way. Oh, where has the thrill gone? If date night and romance has disappeared from your life, fear not. It's just as easy as cooking up a deliciously simple dinner and popping a cork, but not just any cork. Rich, flavorful, and barrel-aged to perfection. J.Lohr Estate Seven Oaks Cabernet Sauvignon is the perfect companion to a candlelit dinner. Soft yet bold, this smooth drinking stunner is proudly grown in Paso Robles, which boasts the perfect growing conditions for cab. Warm days and cool nights allow the grapes to ripen to sublime balance. That's how you know you've got the good stuff. So don't fret over your selection the next time you're in the wine aisle. J.Lohr is crafted to wow. Pair J.Lohr Estate's Seven Oaks Cabernet Sauvignon with a hearty lasagna or mushroom risotto, even a juicy steak. And you hear that date night? You just got your comeback. Learn about J.Lohr's wines at jlohr.com. That's J-L-O-H-R.com. J.Lohr wines are available at the finest restaurants and proudly sold at the best markets.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart & Final. Smart & Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart & Final. Warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Does this sound familiar? You're about to get intimate with someone, and then nothing. You can't do it. Male performance issues are devastating and embarrassing. And who are you going to talk to? Your friends? Your wife? Your dad? So you suffer alone. This is a common story for half of men, but it doesn't have to be. Talk to the Men's Clinic. Men, if you have performance issues, then you need to call the Men's Clinic. They've helped thousands of men just like you, and their treatment is 98% effective, even for men who can't take prescription medications like Viagra or Cialis. You'll receive a personalized blend of FDA-approved medications formulated to treat performance problems, and their medications work in minutes. They're so confident, if you don't see results with the very first treatment, you pay nothing. So one phone call, one very professional visit, and you could be enjoying romance again. Stop suffering. Call now. 800-595-5400. That's 800-595-5400. 800-595-5400.
Kate Warner, 36-year-old female, died from a 12-story fall. This is a homicide.
Tonight on ABC, new season, new suspect.
You think I killed my wife?
That's what I'm gonna find out.
Did he or didn't he?
When a wife is murdered, 9 times out of 10, the husband did it.
Juliette Lewis, Michael Ealy.
If you want to arrest me, come and get me.
Secrets and Lies, the hit series returns tonight, 9, 8 central on ABC.
I believe in this country, and I want to protect it at all costs.
Last season, Quantico was called Fall TV's best. Instantly addicted with Oh My God twists.
Everybody get down now!
Tonight on ABC.
What are you planning?
Television's can't miss drama returns.
Welcome to the CIA.
New season, new threat.
We get the president and the first lady out of here.
Quantico, season premiere tonight, 10, 9 central on ABC.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. Sunday mornings at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sharpen your cooking skills and please your palate every Sunday. Welcome back. Chef Jamie Gwen here. Becky Rosenthal is sharing lots of fresh ideas to use your freezer. It might sound counterintuitive, in fact, fresh from the freezer, but it's true. We really don't utilize our freezer space to make quick and simple meals effortless. Becky is the writer and photographer behind the popular cooking blog, The Vintage Mixer, and she's all about avoiding waste, speeding up your dinner prep, and saving money along the way. Her new book release, entitled Fast to the Table, shares freezer-friendly recipes and frozen food shortcuts, and she is here to dish. I'm glad to have you. Hi, Becky.
Hi, thank you so much.
Yes, of course. Okay, I really related to your introduction. And I think it's so much in support of fresh from the freezer. You dream, as you say, of a world where you can bring dinner to a sick friend while simultaneously having a hot meal prepared for your family. And isn't that the life of multitasking, right?
Yep, definitely. We all want to be that good friend, but we also want to please our families too, and it seems impossible some days.
Isn't that? I very much so agree. Isn't that true? So tell us how you utilize your freezer. Is your freezer packed more so than your fridge?
You know what? On some occasions it is, and then on some occasions we give it all or use it all, and we have to restock. Right now we're in a good season. We just had a baby, and so our freezer is pretty stocked, and we're ready to just kind of lay low at home. So that's a good place to be.
That's a good thing. When it comes to freezing, though, you share a lot of really valuable tips for making sure that we lock in moisture, right? That we're using the correct packaging and that you're thawing properly so that the food is safe. So could you go through one by one the best freezing methods, sort of generically dependent upon what it is you're freezing? Can we start with layout and freeze?
Yeah. And what you're going for is, you know, texture, good texture, flavor, and freshness. So all of these methods lend towards those things. So a lot of times, you know, you defrost something from the freezer and the texture and flavor and freshness is gone. So that's what I'm trying to really focus on here. So the layout and freeze method, you're going to take something like a banana and peel it and slice it up and then put it out on parchment paper so that the banana is not touching itself, if that makes sense. The slices are kind of spread out, maybe a half an inch apart or just enough to where they're not touching.
Right. We call that IQF in the business, right? The fruit manufacturers call that individually quick frozen.
Yes. Okay. I didn't even know that there was a technical
name. There is. IQF. Yep.
And then freeze that just until it's frozen and then put it in the bag so that you can get out the correct portion size whenever you need it. And it's not going to be all in a big lump for when you make a smoothie or anything with frozen banana. So that's that method.
Right. Divide and portion. You talk a lot in the book about portion packaging, per se, right? You only freeze in the quantity that you know you're going to use next.
Exactly. That's the beauty of freezing, so that you don't have to eat that big casserole of lasagna, you know, for a whole week. But you can make it in smaller portions and then defrost just what you need for that night. So you make a lasagna one afternoon or early evening, but you put it in portion size that's just appropriate for your family. And our family at the time was just three, and so a smaller portion of lasagna, and then freeze the rest. You know, like dividing it up into three portions and freezing it so that when we're feeling like lasagna again, then we can have that and put it in the oven and it's fresh and it tastes just as good as the day I made it. And we don't have a ton of leftovers. Of course, sometimes you want those leftovers for work the next day or for lunch. And so, you know, you can plan ahead accordingly.
Of course. And then you talk about wrapping all the way around, right? Plastic wrap from top to bottom, not just on the top. And this is an old restaurant trick that I was taught. Mm-hmm. I worked, Becky, for a professional chef in a kitchen used to walk in the refrigerator itself and turn everything over. And if it wasn't wrapped enough, you had to prep all over again. So I learned to use sort of an excess of plastic wrap, but I think it does its job.
Yes, definitely going back to that idea for the freezer and something that I learned in culinary school too, just, you know, in restaurants, they have those big, huge tubes of plastic wrap, but just to, you know, I like to cover it with foil first and then plastic wrap over the top of that. And so you really have it sealed well. And this is for no moisture to get in so that you don't have any of the white kind of icicles on it, which would prevent good texture and flavor in the end product. So, yeah, the more wrapping, the better for sure. And that's definitely a step that most home cooks skip.
How interesting. Foil and then plastic every time.
Yeah.
And then jumping to the recipes in the book, do you really freeze cooked white jasmine rice?
Yes. And you know what, that's just also the prime example of you can freeze grains in general. So I just did the white jasmine and rice, but feel free to be creative. People can freeze quinoa, you can freeze farro, any grain. The grains that you use most around your house is just going to save you that little bit of time if you're working on a weeknight and you want to whip up dinner really quickly. You still want to cook if you enjoy cooking, but you don't have the time. These are just great time savers. So, yes, white jasmine rice, any rice. There's a Mexican rice recipe in the cookbook, but really just any kind of grain freezes really well if you follow the techniques in the book.
Really smart. You even cook chickpeas rather than using the canned version, and you freeze them. And so they're ready for you. You know, today, Sunday, 3 hours of cooking is simple and easy when we're home, and you simmer them away. But then when they're stored in the freezer, you could make hummus at a moment's notice. And you share a great tip to just rinsing the frozen chickpeas or another grain under warm water, because there's no risk of bacteria. We're not talking protein here, right? And you get a quick thaw.
Right. Exactly. You don't have to think too far in advance. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing for me and freezing before I'm making this book, is I always thought of freezing as like freeze raw meat and things like that. And that was never a huge time saver for me. I didn't think that far in advance. So I do a lot of freezing of cooked meat and things that can thaw pretty quickly. And for beans, you can just put them in a colander, put some kind of lukewarm water running over them until they're defrosted, and then you have beans for tacos or salads or, like you said, hummus. And it's really simple and quick, and the texture and flavor is always going to be better than that can of beans.
Yes, isn't that true? And then tomorrow morning, when, you know, the Monday morning have to go back to work saga rolls around, back to work, back to school, I think that I would be very grateful if there were breakfast sandwiches or breakfast burritos already made in the freezer. And you say they freeze really well and they microwave quickly. You gain that moisture back, right? Because they steam a bit. How smart to plan for breakfast for the week.
Yeah, it's a fun kind of weekend activity to get done, to make those weekday breakfasts quick and efficient. So, yeah, you just pre-make the ingredients from the inside, roll up the tortillas, and then wrap them, like we talked about earlier, in plastic wrap really tight, and then unwrap them, put them on a paper towel to cook them in the microwave. And then I like to add the extra step of kind of toasting them on a pan or a skillet on the stove top so that you get that crisp exterior. But you can definitely skip that and just pop the paper towel in a little bag and be off in your car if you're, you know, making a long commute or something too. So.
Sure. Really terrific tips. I think that the cookbook itself has incredibly handy ideas. Whether you
Thank
are
you.
Looking for great make ahead and freeze meals, if you buy your groceries in bulk, if you get your fruits and vegetables at a farmer's market, but you have a hard time eating everything before it spoils or using it up. These are really terrific shortcuts and freezer ideas from a well-versed cook and chef. It's called Fast to the Table. It's a freezer cookbook written by Becky Rosenthal, and it's all freezer-friendly recipes and frozen food shortcuts that you'll love. And we will continue to follow at the Vintage Mixer as well. Becky, congratulations on the new baby, and thank you for sharing your passion.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
And so that brings us to the end of another hour of delicious conversation. I hope that I inspired you to make something new this week, to cook a new dish, or to find your signature style. And I hope that you'll tune in every Sunday, because if you're hungry for beautiful food and remarkable wines, oh, and juicy conversation, well, then you won't want to miss this show, right? You can find podcasts of shows you might have missed at chefjamie.com, and you'll find this next tidbit of scrumptious information, if I may say, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. So this is my last bite for the hour, my last ounce of gastronomic inspiration, and I think it's a really good one. If you are not an instant oatmeal lover, which I am not, but you don't have the time to make old-fashioned oats every morning, which who does, you can make a big batch of oatmeal over the weekend, then divide the cooked oatmeal into a muffin tin and freeze it. Then you pop out the oatmeal muffins and you place them in a freezer bag. Then the morning of breakfast, you just plop a frozen oatmeal muffin into a bowl and you microwave until it's hot throughout. Of course, it needs a little brown sugar, maybe some currants and a splash of milk, and you have a beautiful bowl of oatmeal ready to go. It's a great shortcut, right? Once again, I'll post it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen, and I will meet you here next Sunday for more delicious conversation. I thank you for listening. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen signing off, and I hope you continue to eat well.